The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
Are the rewards that Christ will give just for the millennial kingdom, or will they last for eternity? Well, that's what we're going to discuss on today's very interesting episode of Grace in Focus. I am Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Thank you for listening to Grace in Focus. We sure are glad that you're along for the ride. Now, I want to tell you that we are taking questions from listeners just like you. You can send us your questions through email, radio@faithalone.org. If you'd like to take a listen to previous episodes with others' questions, you can do that as well by going to faithalone.org. Well, let's go right to today's discussion with Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar. Here's Grace in Focus.
All right, here's some... I mean, they're not really easy questions.
I always love it when you start it out that way.
Well, here, here's one that's maybe a little bit easier. This is from Dennis and Alice. They sign it as both. So, do you have a joint email account with Sharon?
No.
She just has control over your email accounts.
She has control over Facebook.
Of your Facebook.
I have two accounts,
with
two
different birthdays.
Yeah.
You really need to eliminate that fake bad birthday account.
I don't know. I get lots of nice wishes a month later.
Usually it takes people like a Nigerian hacker to create a fake second account. But you did that to yourself.
I don't even know how I did it. Or Sharon did it. I don't know.
So anyways, okay. So Alice and Dennis ask, basically, they mention another dispensational theologian who seems to say that the rewards are only for the messianic kingdom, as opposed to, they say in your book, The Road to Reward, you'd say that they are eternal. They say, can you clarify the discrepancy? Is it eternal or is it only for the messianic kingdom? But the way they phrase it, the messianic kingdom, I don't know if you know this, but it is eternal.
I know this.
I know Bob knows that, but maybe they don't know this. But I think what they mean is it only for the millennial kingdom? So Jesus reigns on earth for 1,000 years before this earth is destroyed, and then there's a new heaven and a new earth. And I guess some dispensationalists have said that the rewards are strictly for that period and for that period only. And then once the new heavens and the new earth come around, it's a different situation.
All right. That is a view. It seems like it's a old line dispensational view. I think this was the view that was held by, I'm not sure, but maybe Lewis Berry Chafer, maybe Dwight Pentecost, a number of these older dispensational writers, classic dispensational writers, held something like that. And I've got several problems with it. First of all, you have verses that indicate both treasure that we're going to receive and crowns we're going to receive are forever.
Yeah.
Right? Like Matthew 6:19-21, don't lay up treasure on earth because it's going to burn.
Yeah.
Moth and rust is going to destroy it. Thieves are going to break in and steal it. But lay up treasure in heaven because it's permanent. Moth and rust can't get to it. Thieves can't break in and steal it. So that suggests permanence. Also, 1 Corinthians 9, around verse 25, Paul says, they strive for a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Well, a crown symbolizes rulership. If we're striving to rule with Christ and it's imperishable, then it can't end at the end of 1,000 years. 2 Peter 3:8 says, with the Lord 1,000 years is as a day. To rule with Christ just during the millennium would be ruling with him for one day out of eternity.
Mm-hmm.
So it'd be almost nothing, and it says it's an imperishable crown. But on top of that, like you mentioned, the messianic kingdom has always been eternal. In the book of Daniel, there's four world powers ending with the Roman Empire, which will be revived during the tribulation. And then there's the fifth and final kingdom, and it's the kingdom of the Messiah, and that kingdom is forever.
So the millennium is really, it's a prophetic period of time, but it's basically the first stage of this forever kingdom.
Right, and in fact, we see that in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 10 and 11. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. I would say this is call and choosing for ruling with Christ. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly.
Mm-hmm.
Or it could be translated, For so a rich entrance or an abundant entrance will be supplied to you into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Peter's talking about the millennium, and he calls it the everlasting kingdom.
Right.
And Peter obviously doesn't believe that we go from the tribulation directly into the new earth. He knows there's a time in between that right. thousand-year reign of Christ, and Peter's calling that the everlasting kingdom. So,
and think about, how about this? A lot of these rewards promises are tied, I think, to God's promises to Israel, to Abraham, of having descendants forever, of having land forever.
Right.
And so forever is a lot longer than 1,000 years, right? So Israel is going to have, like Abraham and his descendants are going to have that land forever, which is more than 1,000 years.
Exactly.
And that, to me, that kind of sets up the timeline that, you know, it's that's not directly about eternal rewards, but I think it kind of sets the background for how to understand them, that this isn't just a 1,000-year period. They don't get it for 1,000 years and then everything changes. 1,000 years, that wouldn't be long enough to fulfill God's promise.
That's a great point. And you also see that in Revelation 21 and 22. In Revelation 21, it opens up into the New Jerusalem.
Right.
Well, it's a city. It's part of Israel.
It's on the other side of the millennium. It's in the new heaven and new earth, and there it is.
And it talks about the nations bringing their tribute to the New Jerusalem every year, 21-24.
Well, and actually, it talks about the kings of the earth. Well, who are the people who are ruling in the new heavens and the new earth? Everything that we know about rulership from the New Testament is that is based on rewards, right?
Right. And also, you have clear statement of reward in Revelation 22, verses 14, 15, 16, right in there.
Well, in 5, it talks about people reigning forever.
Chapter
22:5.
22:5, yeah.
Yeah.
All right, but here's a thought, Sean. Why is it, do you think, that some people have a problem with the idea that rewards go beyond the millennium and go forever?
I guess fairness might be an idea.
Why would it seem unfair?
Maybe it seems unfair that maybe the bad decisions you made in 30 years of your life have an effect forever and ever, and you never get to change that ever.
Right. So basically, some people don't like the fact that either they or someone they know or love might miss out on ruling with Christ forever.
Yeah.
Or might miss out on treasure in the kingdom forever.
They might just think, are you going to feel like it's a punishment that someone has more rewards than you?
I don't think so. No,
yeah.
Because we're going to be perfect.
Yeah.
So therefore, we'll be content with whatever we have. Obviously, the kingdom is going to be much more glorious than what we have now, even if we don't rule, even if we're not rich people in the kingdom.
Yeah.
The person with the least in the kingdom is going to be more glorious than anybody on earth today.
Well, I think, you know, maybe another objection also is just that people just don't like the idea of haves and have-nots. They don't like the idea of greater or lesser authority or greater.
That's exactly right. I remember around the year 2000, I heard Dr. Craig Blomberg present a paper at the Evangelical Theological Society on why he did not believe in degree of reward. And in a footnote, he said, if you believe in the millennium, and if you believe that rewards only last for the millennium, he said, I really don't have any problem with that.
Yeah.
Because 1,000 years is just as a fleeting moment in the scope of eternity.
Yeah.
And he said, but if you hold the view that rewards will last forever, then that leads to inequality.
Right.
And that's the point. Didn't Jesus say many who are first will be last and many who are last will be first?
Yeah.
Now, of course, again, these same people are going to say, yeah, but that's only true in the millennium.
Yeah.
So on the new earth, we're all going to be first.
I mean,
or we're all going to be last.
Yeah.
Or we're all going to be exactly the same. And then what happened to the personalities that God gave us? And what happened to the fact that, you know, God has promised the 12 apostles, they're going to rule over the 12 tribes forever. They're not going to just rule over them for a day.
Yeah. Do you know who Thomas Sowell is?
Yeah.
He's an economist. Is he still alive? I think he may be. But he's one of my favorite writers. I love his books. I love his columns. But he's often pointed out that, you know, behind this drive for what they call justice or against inequality, he says, really, at bottom, it's often just envy.
Right.
You know, envy for what other people have and what we don't have. And I raise that point because there's not going to be that kind of envy in eternity. You know, our moral, our psychological and makeup is going to be different then. one of my favorite painters is Rodin, okay? Auguste Rodin. Or, but if you don't know him, then just think.
I think we say Rodin, but you say Rodin?
It's Rodin.
Auguste Rodin.
And it's or Van Gogh. When I look at Van Gogh's paintings or Rodin's sculptures, I'm amazed at their ability. And I just take pleasure just looking at how much better of a painter they are than I am.
And you're
how
good.
Much better of a sculptor. And I'm okay. I'm pretty good. But I just take pleasure in how amazing they
are. So you're not envious.
I'm not envious. I don't resent them. I don't hate them.
You appreciate their gift.
That is exactly my point. I just look at them and I appreciate, wow, they're able to do this amazing thing. And I'm sure you're the same way, especially with sports. When you look at someone who's really good at sports, you don't hate them for it.
No.
You're celebrating their amazing ability.
Sure.
Isn't that what it's going to be like in eternity? You're going to see someone ruling and you're going to think, wow, they're doing such a good job.
Absolutely. And I hope I'm one of those rulers. That's my aim in life. But if I'm not, I'm still going to be joyful forever. It's just my fullness of joy won't be what it could have been.
Yeah.
And the point really comes back to Jesus. If we want to glorify him more, well, then we want to serve him maximally forever. And that means what we do now does matter. And it's funny because you mentioned, is it really fair that what we do in over 30, 40, 50, 60 years is going to determine the fullness of our eternal experience? And the answer is, well, yes, it's fair because God is fair. And this is what God has laid out in his scriptures.
Yeah.
I love this discussion. This is good stuff. And I urge all of you, in your Bible studies, in your Sunday school class, kick this around. Don't you think, Sean, this is a very important topic, whether rewards last for 1,000 years or whether they last forever?
It touches on everything. It touches on salvation. It touches on discipleship. It touches on eschatology. It touches on where we're going to spend forever. I mean, it just hits so many different topics. It's worth discussing with start with your family around the dinner table.
Yeah.
And just see what kind of questions and stuff come up. And if you get any good questions, you know where to send them to radio@faithalone.org, just like Dennis and Alice did. So take care, guys, and we'll see you next time.
Thank you, guys, for that great discussion. Would you like to deepen your understanding of Scripture and the Christian life? Well, a great place to start is our website. It's faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. We've got all kinds of free materials on the site available for you. One of those, which is extremely popular, is our magazine, Grace in Focus. It comes out 6 times a year. It's full color, easy to read, and people are really growing who read it. So come and get a subscription at faithalone.org. We would like to thank all of our financial partners who help us keep this show going. All gifts are tax deductible and very much appreciated. If you'd like to find out how you can be a financial partner, visit us at faithalone.org. We are so happy when we hear from listeners just like you. Maybe you've got a question, comment, or feedback. If so, please send us a message. Here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. Tomorrow on the program, we're going to talk about whether there are some who refuse eternal life because they don't want it. So join us for that episode. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. And until next time, let's keep grace in focus.
The proceeding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.